BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Today I'm speaking with Shelley. She is one of the amazing people who works for a charity called Changing Faces. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what Changing Faces is, what the work that they do is, as well as how it's relevant to us as nurses. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about Changing Faces?
Yeah, so I am the Senior Communications and Campaigns Officer for Changing Faces. I essentially lead our campaigners group, who are a bunch of amazing people, all who have visible differences, and they've agreed to work with us to share their story and to sort of advocate for other people in the visible difference community to improve understanding and acceptance of visible differences and to try and sort of normalize it amongst society sort of as it should be. Changing Faces itself is a charity that supports everyone in the UK with a visible difference, whether that's on the face or body, whether they were acquired it, whether they were born with it. If it's a visible difference, we support it. So we have a range of support services available as part of it. So we've got counselling, peer group chat, skin camouflage, and then we have the campaign side of things as well, which is more the advocacy side of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I take it it's quite difficult for a lot of people who have these visual differences. Are they quite isolated? Is that how they come to you guys, that they've been signposted, or maybe a quick Google search? Is that how the majority of people maybe find out about you guys?
Yeah, I think a lot of people find out about us either just through Google search, because often they sort of just don't know where to turn. So it's just a case of Googling their condition or Googling for support. And we're one of the first people that pop up, and that's how they see us. We also have a good following on social media. So a lot of people know us through social media, and the stories we share on that one will come to us through that. And then we also have the signposting from medical professionals as well. In terms of sort of isolation, I think that is a feeling that a lot of people that come to us feel. Just from talking to the campaigners, you hear a lot of them say that before they became a campaigner, they'd never spoken to someone else with a visible difference before. And I think that's sort of part of it. It's that feeling of wanting a community that they can be part of. And that's something that we can provide through Changing Faces. A lot of people, I think, suffer in silence a lot of the time. They might go to their GP and it might be something that is difficult to treat or that doesn't have a treatment. And it's more the sort of the psychological side of things that is sort of really impacting them, and they don't quite know where to go from there, and that's where our services come in on that side of things.
Yeah, and quite often, you know, I think some patients, you know, they're quite stoic almost about their facial changes, obviously if they've lived with a long time with it, and you know, you say to them like, how are you feeling in yourself, and they'll just kind of shrug and say, you know, it is what it is. I don't think about that. I just, you know, I have to concentrate on my daily life. Good to raise the importance of actually there are people who are like you, who could support you, who could, you know, have gone through the exact same thing that you're going through now. You know, you're not alone in this. You're not singled out as the only person in the world who has this skin condition. And you're talking a little bit about kind of advocacy and awareness and things like that. How important is that in terms of, you know, does that kind of when the patients first access their GP, or maybe, you know, when they first start having these kind of issues with facial changes, does it kind of help in the sense of that people are more aware of things to look out for? Or
yeah, I think there's sort of a gap in understanding, I think, with visible differences a lot of the time. Obviously sort of diversity in society generally has really sort of come along in the last few years. Like, you can see it on TV and that kind of thing, that there is more representation of people with a variety of visible differences, but some people are being left behind in that. And I think there's still, particularly sort of skin conditions like eczema and dermatitis, psoriasis, that kind of thing, you don't see that a lot on TV, just sort of like generally, or in films or in magazines. And it's just sort of there is that gap in representation, which I think can lead to a lot of the sort of discriminatory issues that you see in society, and that people sort of fear the unknown. And they worry, oh, are they going to be able to catch it off someone, that kind of thing. And obviously that can make people sort of increasingly isolated because of that. So the sort of understanding and acceptance side of what we do is really important. And I think even just sort of from a medical standpoint, while they might understand the condition, they don't necessarily understand the sort of the mental impact behind it. And I think that's what a lot of sort of our supporters and our campaigners say, is that while they get sort of great care from healthcare professionals in terms of the medical side of things, they don't necessarily understand the impacts that it's having on them mentally, and they don't know where to signpost them to. They don't sort of consider that side. And I think the more that we can push for that, the better, so that people get not only the medical treatment they need, but also the psychological support they need as well.
Yeah, it's kind of about bringing all together the holistic needs of the patient, isn't it? You know, I often like to say the brain is also part of your skin. You know, we need to help that side of our recipe of treatments that we're giving you. What kind of thing would you say to nurses about signposting, or maybe things that they could say to patients about, you know, changing faces and ways of kind of encouraging them as this is a resource?
Yeah. So I think one of our campaigners summarized it really well in some resources we recently made for GPs, which is on our YouTube channel. And our campaigner Isabella said that sort of any healthcare professional needs to remember that a person that comes in with a visible difference will also be leaving with that visible difference. So make sure that what you say in the discussion doesn't cause them to feel worse about themselves by the time they leave. So I think a lot of the time it can be the focus can be on fixing the person, and that isn't necessarily possible. It's not necessarily needed. Someone might be happy in themselves with their sort of visible difference, but the things that can be said in a consultation might knock their confidence, because the focus is on curing them, or that there's something wrong with them, and that's not always the case. I think a good example is something like vitiligo. So obviously there's sort of no particularly available treatment for vitiligo, and a lot of people with vitiligo don't see that they need to be treated. They are happy in themselves, but if they visit a medical professional, then that might be the way that it's put across to them, is that they want to try and find a fix for them. And I think it's that focus on listening to the patient and hearing what they want, rather than pushing sort of the medical agenda on them as such. And I think that's really important, because, yeah, some people will want to try and find a treatment, but other people might be happy in the way that they are, and that's also perfectly valid. And I think sort of making sure that the language you use in appointments is appropriate, and that matches the sort of the same energy that the other person is giving as well, is really, really important. And I think avoiding making jokes, even if they're well-meaning, that kind of thing can be really important as well. I'm thinking back to something that a campaigner told us, that a nurse that they came across in hospital said something along the lines of, at least you've got your Halloween costume sorted.
That's horrible.
Not meant maliciously, but obviously not going to go down well with the person that's receiving that, when they're already insecure about the way that they look, because they've gone through an operation. So I think it's just bearing in mind what's appropriate to say, what the other person wants to gain from whatever they're talking about to you, and also making sure that you understand that while it might be a physical condition, it does also have that mental impact as well. In terms of signposting to changing faces, I think it's really important just to say that it is an option, and that there is sort of multiple routes as well. So we have our support and information line, which is sort of what medical professionals can direct people towards. That involves either having a call over a phone, or over video call, or talking over email. to sort of explain your experiences, what you want to get out of it, that kind of thing. And then our wellbeing team will assess what sort of might be best for them. So we have the counselling services, which are a confidential one-to-one service. And I think you can have multiple sessions of the counselling to sort of get to the root of where your sort of self-confidence issues stem from or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So that's one route. Then you've got the peer group chat support route, which is basically a group of people with visible differences come together. It tends to be between sort of 7 and 10 people. And you chat either over a video call or over a like a group chat just with text that is monitored by and facilitated by our wellbeing team. And that's sort of more about getting support from your peers,
your group, from
this community, seeing their experiences, seeing how they handle things, getting tips from them, that sort of thing. And then you've also got our online community, which is more like a forum-based thing, which anyone can sign up to. And that's sort of like a little discussion forum for people to talk on. So there's sort of multiple different routes that people can go down depending on what they need. So it's good to sort of make sure that people know that they have those options as well. It isn't just sort of pushing them towards counselling or anything like that, because that's not going to be right for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what you said there about, you know, garnering the person's ideas, their concerns, their expectations, you know, it's a really good way to kind of set the baseline of your consultation with the person, because there's no point of me giving a treatment to somebody that doesn't want that treatment, you know.
Exactly.
And kind of what their expectations are, because again, as you say, it could be that person is, you know, quite accepting of their appearance. They just need that more mental health support, or it could be somebody that actually wants treatment for their skin but doesn't need mental health support, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of other question that I had was about kind of educational. It is quite often patients with like physical changes or kind of skin changes, you know, they might be looking for resources about how to treat their skin or how best to kind of apply, for example, makeup or something like that. Is that also something that they can ask access from you guys as well?
Yes. So we have our skin camouflage service, which is for England and Scotland currently. And that involves a one-to-one consultation with a skin camouflage practitioner, and you'll get to try out the skin camouflage makeup. So that's sort of creams and powders that they tend to be sort of better coverage and longer lasting than sort of the stuff that you can just buy on the high street. And during that consultation, you'll get taught how to apply it properly. You'll find out which type of makeup suits your skin best, and you can get sort of prescribed that makeup through Changing Faces as well, so you don't have to pay for it. So that is a service that we offer as well, if that is something that people are interested in, because sort of while obviously the sort of the best result would be people to be sort of comfortable in the way that they look, that's not always going to be the case. And we know that
society isn't like that.
It's sort of because of the way society is, like it is hard to reach that sort of place of total acceptance, and we know that in some circumstances people are just going to want to have that confidence boost of being able to hide their difference, and that's okay. So alongside the support services we offer, we also offer skin camouflage for people who do need that little boost of confidence as well.
And I think particularly if it's, for example, as you say, like something from maybe like if they've had skin cancer or something like that removed in a very visible place, it might be quite a useful tool for them to, you know, go and do their job, do kind of the daily life they need to as well.
Brilliant.
So what would you say your kind of top three takeaways of today would be, just for anybody who's listening? I like to end things on our top three little points to remember.
I think the first one would be make sure that you listen to what your patient wants to get out of their discussion with you. Two, make sure that you use the correct language and keep things appropriate. It might be tempted to try and lighten the mood with jokes and that kind of thing, but it isn't always going to go down well. So read the room. See sort of assess what kind of mental state that your patient is in, as well as their physical state, because with visible differences, the mental side can be more impactful from the physical side sometimes. So it's really important to remember that. And then third, I would say make sure that you know about the services that Changing Faces offers and give that as an option to your patients if it does look like they might need a little bit of extra support when it comes to their mental health.
And how would they go about accessing that? Is that just simply Googling Changing Faces? Are you guys on Facebook?
Yeah, so they can Google us. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, X, and Instagram, and TikTok. So lots of different social channels that people can reach us through. And we also have a healthcare referral process as well, which you can find out more about on the website. You can be added to a healthcare supporter newsletter that comes through, and that can give you more information about sort of what's going on at Changing Faces and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's a good thing to sign up to as well.
Particularly maybe if you are a person like a nurse or working with people with quite a lot of facial changes or visible changes, that's quite a good tip. Yeah, great. Thank you so much for coming along today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.